We read in the Bible, God's holy pages, about the story of mercy. Down through the ages, God's love demanded again and again. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. There must come a lamb, an atonement be made. It was finished at Calvary, the last debt was paid. I'm saved, forgiven, I've been born again, washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb, set free from sin's chains. My life has changed, I stand no longer condemned. You may wonder why tears fill my eyes when I see redemption's thoughts. I'll never get over what God put under the blood of an old rugged cross. I read in the Bible.
Sorry, start that one over.
I remember the time of conviction, strong power. The preacher was preaching, this is the hour. Bearing the burdens, the weight of my sin, trying to change me again and again. He said, behold the Lamb, the sacrifice made. It's under the blood, the debt has been paid. I'm saved, forgiven, I've been born again, washed in the blood of the crucified Lamb, set free from sin's chains. My life has changed, I stand no longer condemned. You may wonder why tears fill my eyes when I see redemption's cost. I'll never get over what God put under the blood of an old rugged cross. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Fill my eyes when I see redemption's cost. I'll never get over what God put under the blood of an old rugged cross.
Good, thank you. Great song this morning. Appreciate it. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Third gospel found in the New Testament there, Luke chapter 4. And we're going to read a portion of the account where Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. But we're going to go to some other passages as I speak this morning. Those of you that are visiting with us, I bear with me a little bit. Part of this message will be to our church along the lines of the conference that we just finished. But there will be several things that you can think on too as we go through the passages of Scripture this morning. Let's stand together, Luke chapter 4, if you're able to stand. In honor of God's word, I'll begin reading in verse 5. And our Bible says, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain," talking about Christ, "showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So I want to speak today on winning against the devil. winning against the devil. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good music today from the choir, the congregation, the scripture song, and now this good special about the blood of Calvary. Thank you for our sins, Lord, being removed from us as far as the east is from the west, put under the blood of Jesus if we just trust him as Savior. And so we rejoice in that today. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll use me to be a blessing, a help, and encouragement to your people this morning. Fill us with your power, dear Spirit of God, both speaker and listener. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. On two occasions in the scripture, we read where Jesus spoke directly to Satan and told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." As Jesus was serving in his human body on this earth, he was the target of the diabolical devil over and over again. Think about it, folks. Look, we know that the devil is full of pride. That was the reason for the original sin up in heaven. All right? For him to think, for the devil to think that he could trip up the only begotten Son of God is nothing but pride. That's all that is. But he certainly was not shy about trying. This is the account here in Luke chapter 4. It's found in Matthew chapter 4 as well. This is the account of Satan tempting Christ in the wilderness after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan came to him. Now, Satan had already tripped up one sinless man named Adam. Could he do it again? He was going to try, okay? Jesus was wearied. He was hungry, being in his body of flesh. And so Satan came at Jesus at a weak time in his flesh with three different temptations. And all three times, Jesus responded with scripture saying, "It is written." Jesus used the Old Testament scriptures to conquer the temptations of Satan. And it's noteworthy for us to realize that the Son of God used the Word of God to win against the devil. He used the Word of God. Jesus stood on the Word of God when the devil launched his attack. And Jesus readily won the day. And people, we will never do any better in winning battles against our enemy than standing strong on God's Word. That is one reason why it is wise to start your day with the Bible. You have no idea what Satan will throw in the way of strong temptations, okay, as you go through your day, and you need to be ready. Now, during Satan's second try in this passage at tripping up Christ, Jesus told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Verse number 8, right? You see it there in the middle of the verse. "Get thee behind me, Satan." But I want you to notice what Jesus said immediately following that statement. "For it is written." So Jesus set a powerful example for us when he replied in that manner. We can win against the devil through the Word of God. So don't miss Jesus' answer to Satan here. Jesus had power over Satan with his own words, but he used the written word of God as an example for you, an example for me as to how to overcome the temptations of the devil and to win those battles. No matter what temptation Satan throws at us, it can be defeated through the power of God's word. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword." Jesus rebuked Satan in the power of God's word. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and I want to show you the second time that Jesus told Satan, "Get behind me." Matthew chapter 16, and we begin reading, I believe, in verse number 21. Okay, yes, verse number 21. Verse 21. Chapter 16, Gospel of Matthew. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." What do we have there, folks? We have the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All right? Now watch this. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.' But he turned," Jesus, "and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So in this passage, Jesus is speaking plainly to his disciples about going to the cross to die and then being buried and coming up from the grave. He spoke those things openly to his disciples, okay? And you know what that was, folks? That was the will of God for Jesus Christ. That was the will of God. That's why he came. So Peter immediately, this is amazing language in verse 22, but Peter begins to rebuke Jesus. Rebuke him. He didn't ask a question. He didn't enter into a discussion with Christ. He rebuked him. Basically said, no, that's not happening. Now, people, would Peter in his own thinking do such a thing? I don't think so. And evidently not, because Jesus turns to Peter and speaking to Peter says, get thee behind me, Satan. So Jesus speaks of his death, burial, and resurrection, and Peter steps up and says, whoa, 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 no way, that's not happening. Be it far from thee, that's not going to happen. Excuse me? Whoa, whoa. Something that God had planned and designed and decided from before the foundation of the world is not going to happen? I don't think Peter, but it wasn't Peter. It was Peter speaking through the Lord Jesus. So, I mean, it was Satan speaking through Peter to the Lord Jesus. So Jesus spoke directly to Peter in addressing Satan. Jesus knew who was speaking through Peter, and he says to Satan, get thee behind me. Get to the back of me. Say, I came to do the will of my Father. I came to obey my Father's will. I'm here to do what he sent me to do. There is not a bit of God's will that's up for grabs in my life. I am not entertaining 1 second's thought of that, of what you're saying. I'm moving forward in the will of God. Get out of my way. That's what he said to Satan. Get out of my way. And it's interesting to note that Satan spoke both directly to Jesus in Luke chapter 4, and he also spoke through an associate of Jesus here in Matthew 16. Peter was a tool of Satan at that moment. He didn't know it, but that's what he was. Spurgeon said this, I quote to you, Jesus' dearest friend was his direst foe when he would put him off from his life work. Somebody that tries to interfere with the will of God for a life does not savor the things of God, but the things of men. And so Jesus, he came to do his Father's will. And once again, Jesus showed us how to win against Satan's temptations, and that's just being God's will. Being God's will. So Jesus used the word of God and the will of God to overcome the temptation of Satan. He used the word of God and the will of God to win against the devil. Now listen, I don't know of any place, I could be wrong. So somebody, I tried to think and search a couple of words in the concordance to make sure. But I think this is true. But if I'm wrong, you could tell me. I don't know of any place in the Bible that says as God's children, we are supposed to talk directly to the devil. I don't know. I can't think of one. Jesus had the power to speak directly to the devil and win the victory. Jesus gave the apostles, which included Paul as the apostle born out of due time. He gave the apostles power to cast devils out. Right? You read that in the Bible. That was an apostolic sign gift that ended when the Bible was completed, when the canon of Scripture was completed. And no matter what you saw on television, that evangelist did not cast devils out of people. Didn't happen. Acts chapter 19, I'll tell you what you do read. There was a Jewish chief priest there by the name of Sceva. I don't know if that's first name or last name. He had 7 sons. They tried to cast a devil out of a person. They tried to cast a devil out of a person, and the devil spoke to them and said, quote, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? Modern day English vernacular, who are you? You ain't nothing. You're nothing. Then the Bible says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, seven guys, overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. We're not talking about WWF or WWE or Worldwide Wrestling Federation. We're not talking about, no, we're talking about one man through satanic power attacked seven men, wounded them, stripped their clothes off, threw them out in the street. That's why I'm not into telling Satan, get behind me. I'm not into that. You may be into that. I'm not into that. Because I don't find anywhere in the scripture where Jesus, I know a couple of occasions where a godly preacher filled with the Holy Ghost through the power of God has been used to help deliver people from being possessed of a devil. But they certainly don't do it in their own power. God's people casting devils out of others is not the norm. I'd be very careful before I'd get involved in anything like that. Okay? I'd be very careful. If one demon-possessed man whooped up on seven guys, I'd be careful about that. Now, here's the point of this message. We just came through missions conference. What am I? Father, we heard a Sunday school lesson, two sermons on Sunday, Monday night, Tuesday morning, we had the funeral service, so we didn't hear missions. What am I supposed to do to wrap this up? I'm not going back to missions tonight, I don't think, because God can always change your course. What do I say? God moved on hearts about many things. God moved on hearts about praying for missionaries. God moved on hearts about giving, you know, either beginning to give or continuing to give, increasing, whatever. But God moved on people's hearts. God moved on people's hearts about seriously surrendering yourself to God's will concerning the need to go. And all of those are wonderful and good and right results of a good missions conference. Really, you know what the honest truth is? Those are decisions and good moves of God that should come out of a missions conference. As soon as it's ended, who comes along after it's all over? Here comes the enemy. The enemy is not going to stand by and watch people go liberal in giving so the message of the gospel can go further to unreached people. Satan hates the message of the gospel more than any other message. Why? Because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Satan hates Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Satan hates God. He hates the message because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the devil wants everybody to go to hell forever. The baptistry is not the message, the power of God to salvation. The church membership role is not the power of God unto salvation. Good works is not the power of God unto salvation. Hail Marys, communion beads, all that stuff. Baptism, none of it is the power of God unto salvation. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's it. One message for every person. One. That's why Satan fights it so badly. So Satan tried to stop Jesus directly face to face there in the wilderness. And he tried to stop Jesus through Peter. And no doubt Satan will try to persuade you and persuade me to ignore or neglect the move of God on our hearts. And I'm not sure that get thee behind me is going to work. I'm not into that. Get thee behind me, Satan. Who am I? Who are you? There are instructions for God's people concerning overcoming the work of the devil when he tries to hinder us from obeying God. And guess what? The instructions that I'm going to point out to you, it won't take me long, they are exactly in line with what Jesus gave us as an example. When he told Satan, get thee behind me. Now you want to try get thee behind me? Help yourself. But I just don't think that's going to cut it. I got scripture here. In two different passages, God gives us the simple command, resist. Resist the work of Satan in your life. Resist the battle that Satan brings. You know what resist means? Resist means to set oneself against, to withstand, to oppose. Brother Allen, step up here just a minute. I am not supposed to let, somebody has to be the good guy and somebody has to be the devil, okay? And so, obvious choice, okay? But anyway, so put your Bible down there, brother. So I am God's child. God's moved on my heart about his will for my life and everything. Go ahead and face me. And Satan's going to come. You know what Satan's going to come and do? Go ahead and push me. He's going to come and try to push me around. Now, you do that any harder, we're going to end up anyway. No. So I am not supposed to let him push me around. I am supposed to resist. Withstand. Oppose. Thank you. It's helpful to have a son-in-law on the platform, amen. So now we'll work it out this week somewhere. We'll arm wrestle or something. That's what I'm supposed to do. God moved on your heart. You spoke to me directly, many of you. And God moved on your heart. And here comes the enemy to say, you got all caught up and you're all emotional and you didn't, and you watch the video and somebody, blah, 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 blah. No. Withstand. Amen. Resist, okay? Now, I'm going to show you something. Let me give you a couple of things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse number 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9. These are good old scriptures. Many of you will remember and see them from reading the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Peter is writing, he's talking about Satan in verse 8. And he says, are you there? Amen. Okay. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So you see what he says there. Now look at verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We are to resist Satan by being steadfast in the faith. Now what does that mean? I withstand Satan by standing on the word of God. I have a Bible reason for giving. I have a Bible reason for going. I have a Bible reason for praying. And I can overcome being shoved around by the devil and obey God's move on my life by using the Word of God. God said in Philippians 4:19, if we supply the missionary's need, quote, God shall supply all your need. That's scripture. God said in Proverbs 11:25, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. God said in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. People, you know what it boils down to? It boils down to faith. 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 Faith in what God said. Faith in what God's word says. It's like Brother King said on Wednesday night in the final message of the conference. He said that he wanted us to plant our feet on the truth of Scripture. Why? Because he's coming. He's coming. And he's going to try to push us around. And if I'm just standing on feelings, if I'm standing on some emotion, he's going to shove me all over the place. But if I am standing on the Word of God, I can resist him by being steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. If I attempt to use my own words against Satan, my own feelings, my own thinking, he'll discard those folks. He'll discard those like water off a duck's back. But if I use God's word, he can't stand against God's word. He can't stand. In any athletic contest, any sport, there are a lot of things that are of major importance if you're going to succeed at that sport. You know what one of those things is? Your footing. What about it, basketball coach? Move your feet. Footing is absolutely essential. In baseball, it's essential. In football, in basketball, in tennis, in volleyball, it doesn't matter. Footing is important if you're going to be successful in some athletic event. And people, if you're going to be successful, if I'm going to be successful in doing what God wants me to do, I'm going to have my footing is essential. When the devil comes to try to get me to go backwards, I need to be sure I am standing on the word of God. Footing. So I can resist the devil. I can win against the devil by standing on the word of God. Standing on God's word will help us win against the devil. That's the first thing. And by the way, isn't that what Jesus did in Luke chapter 4? Yes, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But then how did he back that up? It is written. Scripture. Jesus, Son of God, standing on the word of God. Jesus, standing on God's word. Now, let's go to James chapter 4. Go back a few pages, James chapter 4, and let me show you here. James chapter 4, we win standing on the word of God. Then in James chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 7. We're going to read verse 7, that's it. James chapter 4, verse number 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Not only do we win by standing on the word of God, we win against the devil by standing in the will of God. If I oppose him, I must set myself against him, and the Bible says that he will flee. Isn't that what it says? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But there is one major stipulation. That's the first half of that verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Hey people, if I have not done the submitting part, I better not try the resisting part. I believe the order of these words in this book is important. And he didn't say resist and then submit. He said submit yourself to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Being in God's will places us in a position to win against the devil. God's will is a safe place. God's will is a strong place. When Satan comes to attack my desire, my heart, to give, to go, to do both, I need to submit myself to God. Say, God, I know this is what you want. And then I need to set myself against Satan's attack. Father, I give myself to you and your will. You know I'm under siege from the enemy and I need your help to overcome him. I want to do your will, oh Lord. I want to be in your will. Your will's a safe place. We hear that terminology a lot today, don't we? Safe place, safe place, safe place. The will of God is a safe place. It's a strong place. After we submit to God, then in his will, we set ourselves against the enemy, and God promised that Satan will flee. Satan is no match for God, for God's word or God's will. No match. Simply telling the devil, "Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Go away. Get behind me." Have at it all you want to. I don't think that's going to win the day. That's not enough to win the battle over the devil's attack. Submit yourself to God. Resist Satan while standing in God's will. So here's my question this morning. Are you in the will of God concerning missions? Can you say that? Did you seek God about what he wants you to give? Did you not give it any thought at all? Now, if you don't give it any thought and you don't seek God and you just, yeah, I think I'll give this, then here comes Satan and he starts pushing you around because you got nothing to stand in. Anybody listening out there this morning? You guys are all just, everybody here today? A lot of people sleeping, Brother Joe. I don't know if it's getting warm in here. It's not normal for 12-year-old kids to sleep in church. So wake up. Wake up. We're talking about something very important here. Very, very important. If I'm not as funny as Randy King, I can't help it. I got to be me. That guy's hilarious. Mercy days. I laughed a bunch. I'm talking about something. Are you in the will of God? Or did you even seek God this week? Did you ask God, what is your will for me? If you know you're in God's will, then stand in the will of God. That's where you stand. People, you say, well, you just want more. No, you're all wrong. I don't care if you give the same, more or less, as long as it's God's will. Same, more, or less. As long as it's God's will, that's okay. Stand in it. Amen. Stand there. Because that's the safe place. That's the strong place for you when the devil comes against you. It doesn't matter. If you're not in God's will, you're not in a position to win against the devil. Are you in God's will concerning not only going, but not only giving, but going? You know, we make a big mistake when we think that a missions conference only has to do with going to some foreign country. It has to do with being in God's will about witnessing here. We know a missions conference is about raising money to send people with the gospel to where God has called them. But it's also, a missions conference is also about hell. That's what it's about. Hell. Preached for Glenn Auger recently this year, down back in the month of June. We were talking about bus ministry. And he said that, you know, I told him about our afternoon program. And I said, one time I pulled into the church parking lot, and I think there were 3 police cars here. I said, I think to myself, my goodness. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I think to myself, one slip up and we could be shut down forever. That's true, folks. He said, Brother Terry, he said, we had 5 in our parking lot one time. 5. Because a fight broke out. And he said, one of the police officers said to me, is this really worth the risk? And Pastor Auger said, this is about hell. Come on, look. You know who's responsible? You know who's responsible if something goes south here legally? And I give some thought to that once in a while. You know why I can't say we're pulling the plug on the afternoon bus ministry? Because who is going to go get those kids and tell them that somebody died to save them from hell? Who else is going to do it, folks? So we're just going to wash our hands of it, Brother Allen, because we don't want the risk? Stand up. That's worth it right there. Thank you, brother. So the missions conference is not people who get their shackles up over missions conference because it's money. You're missing the main thing. The main thing is people go somewhere for eternity when they leave this world. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And nobody has to go to hell because Christ paid the debt for everybody. But they just got to hear. You know what? They may make their own, they may make their mind up. Nah, I don't believe that anymore and I believe anything else. That's their choice. But at least they get to hear. Are you in God's will when it comes to witnessing here? You know, missions conference is not just about going to Madagascar or Costa Rica or Kenya. Missions conference is about going here. Amen. If you feel that God may be leading you to go elsewhere, you're going to win the win against the devil by just going here. You know why? That's the will of God. Amen. Do you want to win against the devil? I do. Do I always win against the devil? No, I don't. Resisting while standing on God's word and in God's will helps me win against the devil. We resist Satan not by saying, "Get behind me, Satan." That's not how we do it. We resist Satan by withstanding him on God's word and in God's will. This is true not only about the will of God for us concerning missions. It's true about anything that is God's will for us. Hey, it's true about if you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're going to that wonderful place called heaven. That's, you know how you can take care of that? Believe what God said. And understand God's will for you is to get saved. He's not willing that you would die and go to hell. Now, I see Cheryl Hegel sitting back here this morning. My heart goes out for her because she's by herself, first time in church, without George, who two Thursdays ago got a clean bill of health. And just over 24 hours later, was in heaven. There's nothing to play around with. My advice, don't speak to Satan directly. Say, "Get behind me." No, 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 no. Scripture says to resist Satan by standing on the word of God while standing in the will of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'll be transparent. Over the years here, you know, I get my checkbook out on Saturday and I'm writing the check out for the offering on Sunday. And I put my tithe in, you know, my tithe's in that amount. And then my missions giving is in that amount. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm not saying this to boast. But those people, there are people here who will understand what I'm saying. My giving to missions now weekly exceeds my tithe. But I'll be transparent with you. Sometimes when I write that figure in that little box over there, here he comes. Here he comes. When I'm writing that figure in that box, I'm being transparent with you. I'm thinking. When I write that figure in that box, I am standing on God's word, in God's will. And I'm not going to say to him, "Get behind me." He's too powerful. But I can resist him by standing on God's word, in God's will. And finally, he just goes away. But not for good. Because at the end of Luke chapter 4, that little passage, verse 13, the Bible says the devil departed from him for a season. He'll be back. He'll be back when we're at our weakest, when we're most vulnerable. He'll be back when we have talked at home about, "Man, I don't know if we can keep doing this or not. I don't know if we should keep giving this or not." He'll be back. Where will you be standing? On God's word? In God's will? I hope so. Because that's how you win. That's how you win. Thanks for listening. Let's pray together this morning. Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. And Father, I pray that you'll take scripture, truths of scripture, and God, just help us today. We desperately need to know your will for each one of us. Those of us that are members here, attend here, we desperately need to know your will. And Lord, we want to stand on your word and in your will. And we want to resist Satan when he comes to try to shove us around. And we want to oppose him, standing on your word and in your will. And so I pray, oh God, that each one of us, as members and those that attend here, enter into this season, this new season for the next 52 weeks. Not only of giving, but going. Help us to plant our feet on your word and to stand in your will and oppose the enemy. And thank you that we can win the day through that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God really spoke to my heart this morning. I do want to be involved. I do want to obey the Lord. God did move on my heart, and I want to stand on God's word and in God's will so I can win against the attacks of my enemy. If that God spoke to you this morning, would you slip your hand in there wherever you're sitting today? Now, there's a lot of hands. Maybe that's why it was so quiet. Maybe people were just listening carefully. That's good. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, all right? Now, if you're here this morning and you say, boy, you're thinking to yourself, you know, I really don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I really don't know. We can help you. We can show you from the Bible, not the Baptist policy book, but the Word of God. We can show you from God's Word how you can, as they sang about a little while ago, have your sins forgiven and placed under the blood of Christ and be saved and have the joy of the Lord and a home in heaven. Who wouldn't want that? What if there's somebody here today and say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved, and that concerns me. Just slip your hand in the air if that's you this morning. I'm not sure I'm saved from side to side, front to back. I don't know where I'm going when I leave this world. Pray for me. Anybody like that today? If you're here today, you've been saved but not baptized, I invite you to come. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism like some have recently. That's a wonderful step of obedience. We let God direct your steps this morning through his word, through his spirit. Those that raise their hands, stand on the word of God, in the will of God. Don't get pushed around by your enemy. Father, bless the invitation, the time of surrendering to you. May it be heartfelt and sincere is my prayer. I pray in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And we have the song of invitation. We have a few moments to let the altar be open for you. Now, if you're not sure you're saved, now this is the time, right now. This is it. Would you come? You say, I'm not going to join a Baptist. We're not about joining a Baptist church. It's about finding out from the Scripture how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If that's you, that's what you need this morning. You need the burden of your sin lifted. Well, the Bible has the answer. You come. Let the Word of God deal with you, speak to you, encourage you. Would you do that this morning while we wait?